Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to our lesson. In this lesson, we're going to be looking at the chapter of nikah, or at least the first two questions in the chapter of nikah. What I want to do is just look at the first mas'ala, and then we'll move on to the second case, the second mas'ala. I've not translated the word nikah into marriage, so I've avoided, for now, translating it into marriage, because I think that's a bit confusing. I know that when we speak about nikah, we usually translate it into English as marriage. But because we're being a little bit more pedantic, a little bit more technical, I'm going to stick with the word nikah. So let's begin. The author says, قَالَ النِّكَاحُ يَنْعَقِدُ بِالْإِيجَابِ وَالْقَبُولِ بِلَفْظَيْنِ يُعَبَّرُ بِهِمَا عَنِ الْمَاضِي لِأَنَّ السَّيْغَةَ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ لِلْإِخْبَارِ وَضْعًا فَقَدْ جُعِلَتْ لِلْإِنْشَاءِ شَرْعًا Daf'an lil haja. So we'll stop here for now. So he says the contract of nikah is concluded with an offer. Somebody makes an offer and there's an acceptance. Right? So it's completed when an offer is made. You say to someone, for example, marry me. And they respond, I have married you. By those utterances, the contract of nikah is concluded. It's as simple as that. بِلَفْظَيْنِ with two words, يُعَبَّرُ بِهِمَا عَنِ الْمَاذِي two words that express the past tense. So what does that mean? يُعَبَّرُ بِهِمَا عَنِ الْمَاذِي So بِلَفْظَيْنِ, the reason the author mentions love is that it has to be a speech act. In other words, it's not something that you write down. Because the whole thing about speech, if you think about it, it's an act that brings something into existence. When you say something, when you utter something, an obligation of sorts arises, as opposed to just writing something down. When you utter something, think about it about in terms of, you know, accountability, that on a day of judgment, people will be held accountable for what they said and what they did. People stay silent, there's no accountability for them for that matter. So it has to be a speech act, it has to be said, بِلَفْظَيْنِ يُعَبَّرُ بِهِمَا عَنِ الْمَاذِي and it has to be expressed in what we say in the past tense. So he explains why. لِأَنَّ السَّيْغَةَ وَإِنْ كَانَ لِلْإِخْبَارِ وَزْعًا فَقَدْ جُعِلَ لِلْإِنْشَاءِ شَرْعًا دَفْعًا لِلْحَاجَةِ That when we say things, when we utter things, it's usually about notifying someone. So when I say something, it's a form of notification. But nikah is such a thing that you're not notifying something, you're forming something. You're forming a form of contract. You're bringing something into existence. So out of need, we need some form of expression which tells us that we formed a contract, not notified of a contract. You don't notify someone, you form a contract. You form an agreement. So out of need, we've had to do this. What does this mean? So let me give you some detail. This is responding to a potential objection that if nikah is to form a contract, we're bringing something into existence, we call that insha in Arabic. And insha basically means isbatu ma lam yakun thabitan, to affirm something that wasn't there before. So when you make an offer and there's an acceptance, you form something. There wasn't marriage before, there wasn't nikah before, it didn't exist before, but now you've uttered something and there's been a response to it, you formed something. The problem is that we don't have a word for that in Arabic. We don't have an expression for that that captures that formation. And this kind of like huduth amrun fil hal, because you brought it into existence at that moment in time, right? And so you brought something into what's called ontological existence. Now, what form are you going to use? Well, you could use the past tense as an expression, because you have three tenses. You could use the past tense, present tense, or future tense, what's called madhi. That's called madhi. Or you could express it in what's called the mudari. So those of you who know Arabic, mudari means the past, the present and the future tense, right? Which one are you going to use? And so let's look at mudari. When you say in a mudari tense, for example, if you were to say to someone, I'd like to marry you, or marry me in the future, right? It's kind of ambiguous, and this is really important. And let me just kind of at this point allude to something in the Hanafi madhab. The fuqaha don't like ambiguity. They don't like ambiguity at all, and because it can cause problems. Think about it. If you're concluding a contract and there's room for one party to interpret it differently, if things were to go pear-shaped, things weren't to work out, you'd have arguments. So we want certainty in language. You want to be certain both in the way you say it and how you express it and the way the contract is concluded, so that there's no room for things to go pear-shaped later on. Everybody's clear. Nobody can say, well, I didn't mean it this way. لِدَلَالَةِ عَلَى التَّحْقِيقِ وَالتَّحَقُّقِ وَالثُّبُوتِ. We need something that can really, really affirm it, right? And because the مُضَارِع includes both the present and the future, there's an ambiguity in it. We use ماضي. So you say in a past tense. And what that does, it makes it absolutely clear, right? So that's why we express it in what's called the past tense. That's why he's saying لِإِنَّ السِّيغَةَ وَإِنْ كَانْ لِإِخْبَارِ وَضْعًا قَدْ جُعِلَتْ لِلْإِنْشَاءِ شَرْعًا دَفْعًا لِلْحَاجَةِ. We have to do this because we are trying to achieve what's called a maslaha, a beneficial purpose. And therefore, we take the past tense. The past tense is the clearest expression from the ماضي, which includes only the past, and the مُضَارِع. Because the مُضَارِع might be understood as a future. I'd like to marry you in the future, right? So it's leaving some sort of ambiguity. And what you don't want in a marriage contract is to say to someone that I'll marry you in the future, and then she gets an offer for somebody else, from somebody else. What are you going to do then, right? So it has to happen, what I call, in the moment. And it's so practical. This is why fiqh is so useful. But you see how fiqh is practical. It's practical. It's real life. But it's also about benefit, right? We want things to work for people. So we use the past tense. That's what it's saying. This entire first question here is all about that. This entire first question, right? And then, you know, you can think about examples in Arabic. You know, when you say to someone, for example, you make a dua, سَقَى اللَّهُ ثَرَاهُ. سَقَى is, may Allah, you know, give you prosperity. But this is a past tense, but because it's a dua, we don't take it literally. We don't say Allah gave you prosperity. We say may Allah give you prosperity. So sometimes the necessity of what we're trying to express requires us to verbalize it in that way. All right. So I hope that makes sense, inshallah ta'ala. And of course, you can always ask me questions in the comment section. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.